Cowan and Shannon with you today. I listened to the podcast yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Well, a part of it.
Why?
Well, you will understand this. As people can see who are watching this, my office used to be filled with chairs and books and things. Yeah. And now it's a big hollow room.
It's a little more echoey than it used to be.
It's a lot echoey. A lot more echoey. And I noticed that yesterday. So I'm going a little closer to the microphone now to try and eliminate some of that.
Excellent, Robert.
But I don't know if it's working or not.
Well,
so you got that for about another week.
We can adapt.
Well, you're on an iPad today, so your sound is not exactly perfect.
No, so I go to my computer this morning with all my whole nice little setup and 38 minutes. It's going to be 38 minutes before my computer got automatically upgraded overnight. And
well, you know, I said to you when we started this thing, I said, I'm not sure the Commodore 64 is really going to be able to handle the technology of today. Jesus, get a new computer.
I have a lovely computer, Bob. It just
38 minutes to do what?
Updates. Updates, man.
An update at night.
It did, but then it has to re. If you don't go down in the morning and turn it on and check it, it has to reboot.
Well, but that's what you didn't do, you dumb, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but listen. Well, because by the way, you are so good in the computer world. That's why you're the vice president of IT of this group.
Well, and you know the reason why. I know exactly what to do when there's a computer problem.
Turn it off.
Call somebody. Yeah. I don't touch a damn thing.
Okay, so today's topic at least is a little more down in your expertise.
Well, not a little more, but I mean,
You know as much about computers as you do sports gambling?
No, I know way more about sports gambling than I do about almost anything else. But
that's my point.
Kevin Waugh is the minister of parliament, federal.
Member of parliament. Not a minister.
Right. Not a minister.
He's in the opposition.
For Saskatoon Grasswood. And he was the one who presented the private members bill to legalize single event sports betting in this country. Something that's been talked about for decades. Something that I've had on the periphery, been involved with. And the bill passed. There is going to be legal single game sports betting in this country. But are there more questions still to be answered? We'll talk to Mr. Waugh and get his perspective on what he did and what comes next with single game sports betting in Canada. We'll commence after these messages. It's McCowan, it's Shannon, back with on the program. And single sports wagering has finally become legal in the, or will be, in the country. Kevin Waugh is the member of parliament for Saskatoon. Is it Grasswood? Is that right?
Yes, Grasswood, Saskatoon Grasswood. Yep.
Right. And he joins us now. He was the member that introduced the legislation. Well, thanks for taking time for us today.
Yeah, it's good.
Tell us a little bit about the genesis of this. It has been discussed for, I'm going to guess, 20 years. There didn't seem to be any specific motivation until the last few months. But how did this all come about?
Yeah, it's a long journey. I'll give you some background, John and Bob. So I was a sports broadcaster in Saskatoon for four decades. So, you know, well aware of the situation in the sport business in this country. So you're right, this bill started well over 10 years ago, probably even longer. They brought it, actually, it passed the House of Commons in 2015, kind of suspiciously, I might add, by Joe Comartin. They did it on a Friday afternoon, got it to the Senate, where Bob, your friend, Paul Beeston, kind of squashed the single event sports betting. And then Prime Minister Harper called the 2015 election. So it was dead on the order paper. And then Brian Massey brought it forward again in 2016. He's the MP for Windsor West. And it was defeated in the House of Commons. So how these private member businesses work is every new parliament you pick out of a hat to see who goes first and so on. I chose number seven when I picked. I was number seven, lucky seven, as it turns out. Brian Massey, who brought the bill out in 2016, was in the 200s. So I have a background, as I mentioned, in sports. So we were looking over the order papers from the last parliament, and there it was. And our leadership said, you're the obvious guy to close this deal out. You know, the NDP tried with Joe and Brian, and now you're the closer. You're the Jordan Romano. We want you to close out this deal and see if you can do it. So, you know, a conservative backbencher usually doesn't get a PMB passed through the House. We had lots of ups and downs, but there was big appetite in this country for it. And often, as you guys know, politicians don't do what the general public want. So when we started out, there was a little bit of pushback on this. But, you know, the offshore sites and the gray market in this country were eating $14 billion at least per year. So why not get some of the tax dollars from this and, you know, do the addictions, put money back into mental health. So it was a long journey. It was over a year and a half. And finally, in June, we got it through the Senate. And then, you know, the government took 40 days for whatever reason to the ordering council. And then they had the big announcement, you know, a little over 10 days ago at Fallsview.
So Kevin, the thing that jumped out at me was that there was support for this thing on both sides of the aisle. That was something we're getting used to. Yep. Not having support on both sides of the aisle. How did that work?
A lot of work, John. You know, as parliamentarians, we do meet after question period, believe it or not. You know, that hour and 15 where you're butting heads at one another is all for TV. And then after that, we do get together and we share, you know, concerns. Let's face it, in Niagara Falls and Windsor, big concerns, because across the border in Michigan and New York now, single event sports betting is legal. The casinos down there in Windsor and Niagara Falls are feeling it. We're coming out of a pandemic that, you know, in the last 16 months has been hell on sport teams and professional leagues. I think, John and Bob, it all turned around for me. Last June of 2020, I got six letters of recommendation from all commissioners of the professional sport league saying it's time we get a regulated single event sports betting in Canada. That was the first time all six came together. As you know, there was always opposition. The leagues wanted a lot of money for this at the beginning, 7, 8, 10 years ago. And I mean, they are supplying the stat packages for this. So, you know, it all swung in my favor, I thought, June of 2020, when all of a sudden I went into the House of Commons with six letters from all commissioners of professional sports.
I'm in the middle of a move. And while I was moving, I actually found a speech that I gave to a parliamentary committee a number of years ago. And it was entirely about the legalization of sports betting and a recommendation to do that. It has taken a long time to get to this bar. But one of the things I do specifically remember of that presentation was that I said that governments should be there to legislate and not operate. What kind of situation do we have here? Is this going to be a government-run operation, or is this going to be an operation that is privately run but taxed, and that's how the government will generate its revenue?
So it's my understanding, all I did, gentlemen, was amend the criminal code to allow single event sports betting, whether it's boxing or professional sports or whatever the case may be. That's all the feds had in the game. So now it's going to the provincial jurisdictions who've regulated lotteries and gaming for the last 30 plus years. So it will go to the Ontario Lottery Corporation, the Quebec, BC, and so on, Western Canada. And it will be up to those jurisdictions what they do. You know, there's been a lot of play in this country, as you gentlemen both know, in the last 6 months of positioning, where Score Media just got bought out, and FanDuel and DraftKings, they all want into the market. Very good question. What will the provincial governments decide? Will they regulate this and run it and get the money from it? Or will they, in fact, distribute it to the others that I just mentioned? So I think in Western Canada, BC's ready to go next Friday, the 27th of August, and it appears they're going to use ProLine Plus. It will be an app, and I hear Ontario, Quebec are leaning that way, at least to get it up and going. But it's going to take a lot of money on the infrastructure side. So there could be private investment into this. I think each government, Bob and John, will determine which way they will go. Although I would strongly recommend following both Ontario and BC, as they seem to be ahead of the game right now.
Yeah, don't you see it as potentially problematic if we have multiple jurisdictions with completely different perspectives and agendas in this? In other words, if Ontario, for example, said, we're just going to legislate this, and we're going to be the 30,000 foot guy who looks down and oversees all of this. But if you got, you know, if an individual, a corporation wants to apply for a license to open a sports book, for example, whether it's on Yonge Street or whether it's in a hotel, we're simply going to be the overseer of that. If that was to happen, but other provinces are using the ProLine model where it's government operated, don't you see that as potentially problematic?
Oh, I do. And more so in Ontario, where Torstar has already kind of put their foot into the ring, along with Rogers and Bell will, if they haven't already. They're the big players, of course, with their sport programming. This will be a very delicate situation for the Ontario government in which way they go. And then they have an issue with the Indigenous rights. The Mohawks from Quebec are not, you know, they have an offsite themselves. They weren't too happy in the Senate that this is coming forward. I'll tell you what I did. I first reached out to the Saskatchewan Indian Gaming Authority in my province and brought them on board because they have the expertise here. So I did that in Saskatchewan. I know BC has done the same, but there could be some interesting developments out of both Quebec, who haven't really consulted with the Indigenous groups, and Ontario. So, and the Ontario market, let's face it, guys, it's the biggest in Canada. It rivals California. Everybody wants the market in Ontario. It's huge. And for Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, they also want it. And it'll be interesting to see how business, private business, and government get along with this bill in the next 4 or 5 months.
So the last thing we saw that changed via the criminal code was cannabis. And it got sent down to the provincial level as well. And I'm not sure how you would describe how the legislation and how the execution of the plan went for cannabis. But can we expect a little better than what we saw with legalized marijuana?
I'm hoping so, John. The black market on the cannabis is still there, as you know. That's a concern. I gave a speech where, you know, in Saskatchewan right now, the number one team, of course, is the Riders. So as the Western Canada Lottery
Corporation. I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm shocked.
Well, you know, yesterday with Arizona and Glendale saying they don't want the Coyotes, you know, on the streets of Saskatoon right now, bring back the Blues. But that's a flash in the past from the 80s. But, you know, the question remains for the Western Canada Lottery Corporation or Saskatchewan Lotteries. Will you elevate the Saskatchewan Rough Rider line during their games? Okay, so they're playing Ottawa on Saturday. Is it a 7.5 line when really everyone else has it at 3.5? Those are the questions I've asked, because it's got to be, and I know FanDuel's is big and DraftKings, they're big, but are you going to start playing in that field where you shouldn't be playing? I don't want it in the Quebec or Ontario or Western Hockey Leagues involved. We don't need that. There's enough games each day to do, you know, select betting. So I'm hearing U Sports would like it, and other leagues like the CEBL and the soccer, which, you know, are marginal at best. But it's the six professional leagues that, you know, right now are the main focus. But it's going to be interesting to see how this rolls out. And I hope across the country they're having these discussions today.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but I lived in Las Vegas for a number of years and was
well
involved in in the sports betting community there. And one of the things that was done there was a prohibition on any team that was based in the state of Nevada. At that time, Nevada was the only place to make a legal sports bet in America and in North America, in fact. And the UNLV Rebels, for example, the basketball team, there were no professional, major professional teams there at the time, but the UNLV Rebels were taken off the board. So if you lived in the state of Nevada, you couldn't get a line or couldn't make a bet on UNLV. And again, you'll forgive me for not knowing the background behind completely about, you know, the bill you put forward, but do you have any, does the federal government have any control over that, or is that all provincial to decide whether to allow wagering on hometown, home province teams?
All provincial, Bob. Very good question, though, because look, you lived in Vegas. MGM Grand had a piece of the New York Rangers, and the NHL Rangers were never on the board in Las Vegas. Now, of course, you have the Golden Knights. So I think when you, that team got to Vegas, that changed everything in North America. Mm-hmm. Because now, you know, MGM is partnering with Wayne Gretzky. They're with Bettman all the time. That's all changed. So I know talking to Craig Reynolds, the CEO of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, he wants betting stations set up at Mosaic Stadium. And, you know, he wants Cody Fajardo. Can he throw two touchdown passes in the third quarter? They have an agreement with TSN, the CFL does, that the more eyeballs they get in the fourth quarter staying with their product, the more money they get. And they have never got that residual from TSN because the eyeballs always left at halftime or third quarter, other than this province. And that's one thing that they think is going to help the CFL, that if you have a few pennies on the game, you're going to stick it out, even though, you know, it's 32-17 in the fourth quarter. The eyeballs will be on the TV set, increasing the viewership, and maybe they can get the bonus from TSN.
You know, and creating that level playing field with the Americans, Kevin, they, you know, there is a betting house within the arena in Newark, and there is one in Washington as well, where Caps fans and can go, or Devils fans can go and wager during the game.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, good or bad. You know, I think that's a little excessive personally, that, you know, they are set up in the rinks or the football stadiums, but I guess it's a fact of life. We've come a long way since 2018 when New Jersey challenged the Supreme Court in the United States. Like Bob said, the only place you could bet was Nevada. And that all changed in 2018 when New Jersey won. Now, New Jersey, it's interesting to note, is challenging Nevada and Vegas for the number one sports betting area in the United States. They're neck and neck right now. So in three short years, two and a half, actually, New Jersey's numbers are equal to Nevada.
How do you envision the online side of this? When you consider, if I'm sitting here in Southern Ontario, will I be able to go to the BC Lottery Corporation and their website and gamble?
No, you won't, but you will, I think right off the bat in Ontario, Quebec and BC, it will be all with your phones. It will be right. The app. I'm a little concerned about the corner grocery store that used to sell the pro line tickets and get a small commission from that. I mean, those guys could be hurt by this, you know, and small business right now, as you guys well know, is in deep trouble in this country coming out of the pandemic. So I hope we haven't forgot about the corner store that has made their living over the years selling lottery tickets. But, you know, in Saskatchewan, the SIGA, it's called, they've gone to an app. BC's going to an app. They're going to block me out if I want to bet on playnow.com in BC. You will be blocked, as I am right now with the Blue Jays. When they have the 50-50 now, you have to be an Ontario resident. So outside of Ontario, we can't participate in the $1 billion that they're raising right now at the Blue Jay games. So it will be restricted to that.
Well, it raises a most interesting point. We'll take a quick break and come back with more. Kevin Waugh is with us back after these messages. It's McCallum and Shannon. Kevin Waugh is the member from Saskatoon who issued a private members bill to legalize single event sports betting in this country. But it is going to be operated by each of the provinces and presumably irrespective of what the other provinces do. They will all do whatever they want to do independently. I see this, Kevin, as extremely problematic. Explain, if you will, why, and as you explained earlier, you essentially decriminalized sports betting, but now it is in the hands of the individual provinces. Why is that? And is there any way for the federal government to take some level of jurisdiction over the provinces?
It all started in 1985. The Mulroney government gave the provinces the authority to regulate lotteries and gaming in this country. So it started way back in 1985. The indigenous communities raised a concern in committee on the Justice Committee and later in the Senate about not being, you know, consulted back in 1985. So as you all know, in this country right now, indigenous communities are heavily involved, many of them, into the gaming industry. So
understood. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is going to be some issues. I think we're going to have some issues early in this, how it is regulated. There is going to be different jurisdictions. I can tell you Saskatchewan is way behind BC and Ontario and Quebec. Which disappoints me. You know, this bill went through the House of Commons 303-15. And, you know, the government supported it and then they monkeyed around with it at the time. They never brought it out. They had this legislation, it was C-13. And, you know, they didn't push it forward in November and December when they took it over. I still had my bill just in case. And, you know, they kind of didn't want to bring it forward. And then all of a sudden, well, I've still got my bill. And I talked to the clerk and he said, go. I mean, you've got the slot in February. So we forced the vote in the House of Commons, got it through the Justice Committee in 2 weeks, sent it over to the Senate. And that's where you expect the changes or any issues to occur. Mm-hmm. But they, thank God they rubber stamped this and got it through in time, June 29th. And then, like I mentioned, the government waited 40 days just prior to the election to give the order and council approvals to it. So I think there's going to be some growing pains. There's no question. I talked to Paul Burns with the Canadian Gaming Association. This has been his dream. Some jurisdictions are ahead. Some have no idea what the hell they're doing with this. And one would be the province of Saskatchewan. They're way behind. And, you know, BC, Ontario, Quebec have got their act together. And I think they're going to lead the country in how this will roll out, especially Ontario.
Well, you mentioned Niagara Falls and Windsor. What's your expectation the casinos will do?
I think we're going to have sports books. That's why SIGA is involved here. They own seven casino locations in Saskatchewan. The vision is to have a sports book. We all know, and Bob, you lived in Vegas for years, it's the sports book that makes gambling going. I mean, it's exciting when you walk through their locations. There's noise, there's cheering, the TVs are up, and everyone's pumped up on a game. And there's back-to-back games from 10 in the morning till midnight, and that's the place to be. So, those tourist destinations have been hit hard, Niagara and Windsor. They have to compete on the casino level. Now, how that rolls out is going to be interesting because, you know, in what I've heard, it's all going to be app right now. But, you know, what does a casino bet look like? We had some discussion on horse racing because horse racing was excluded from this. And for that very reason, if you go to Woodbine and Bob, I'm betting on a horse that I like at 3-1, but in the casino in Windsor and Niagara, that favorite is actually 7-1 because they don't change the odds. Well, you can see what's going to happen to Woodbine. Nobody would be going there. You would be going to the casinos and picking up fixed odds. So the casinos, I think, are going to have a very major play in this country on the betting of single event sports.
What's going to have to happen, and you illustrated it perfectly, what's going to have to happen is an integration of the computerized system in, if they want to do horse racing, computerized system in the casinos to the computerized system at the track, so that the odds that are posted in the casino or in the sports book, more accurately, all of the money that is wagered goes into the same pool. The odds change appropriately. You cannot have two different systems. Now, sports betting is slightly different. I can remember the days living in Las Vegas and getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the place we'd always go is the Stardust, because that they posted the first betting line every morning at 8 a.m. And you'd sit there and you'd watch what the early money did. And then by 9 o'clock, you were off in your car going to all the different other sports books to see what everybody else had. And the odds were different at every place. And the information highway between the sports books was not sophisticated.
No.
This was a time when sports bettors carried a pocket of dimes because they wanted to call as many people as they could in the payphones outside. Now, this is before cell phones and everything else. Well, that's all changed now.
Yep.
Now, when somebody walks in and puts $50,000 on the New York Yankees and the line changes at the Stardust, which is where he bets, within seconds, everybody else knows and adjusts their line accordingly. So that opportunity to get a better number somewhere else just by driving over to the other place is almost gone. But everybody has to work together on this in order for it to happen. And my great concern here, Kevin, as I've stated, is what are the existing synergies between all the casinos, all of which are independently operated, and then with the racetrack, and then with the international crowd, like DraftKings, which raises the question, you know, a company like DraftKings, how does this impact them? They're operating currently on an international basis. The fact that they would suddenly be legal in Canada may mean nothing more than they could advertise. But is there going to be a taxation base on DraftKings operating in Canada? I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, it's a good question, because Penn just bought, as you know, Score Media in mm-hmm. Canada. But yeah. Score Media had four states in the United States that they had their information with, including Indiana. So, governments want money. And I will never
say... get that.
Yeah, that's right.
Me too. Guess what?
So I think there'll be changes along the way. I mean, governments are going to be in our pocket one way or another. They'll see how this rolls out, and I think they're going to tweak a lot of it. I questioned the CFL when they thought they were going to get $20 million out of this because of sponsorship. Listen, we all know that to find new advertisers today is very, very hard. This is a new application coming into the country. It gives them a second life, actually, the CFL, that they can put a decal on, and I see the NHL's already talk about it. But jurisdiction-wise, the provincial governments, I hope they have a minister in each province looking at this, because it's going to take some time to roll out, and roll it out. There'll have to be adjustments along the way. And just to have a sports minister in a province, I think you need now a gaming minister. This is going to generate millions and millions of dollars.
Of course,
Sean.
You do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And a line maker.
Anymore, John. I'll tell you because of communication. Somebody, whoever puts out a line, the information highway is so fast now. It's instant that adjustments can be made immediately. And let me give a prime example. You're sitting on the border of BC and Alberta. And the BC Lions are playing the Calgary Stampeders. If the line is substantially different in Alberta than it is in BC, you are, as a sports bettor, you are presented with all kinds of options that otherwise do not exist anywhere else in legalized sports betting. Because if you're in Vancouver, I know if I was the line maker in Vancouver, I know most of the money is going to come on the BC Lions. If I'm in Calgary, I know most of the money is going to come on the Calgary Stampeders. I'm going to adjust my line from day one to accommodate that. And the difference between the two provinces in a betting line might be well, probably will be significant. So it creates all kinds of potential problems. And I know that that Kevin can tell you that legally you're not allowed to make a wager in one province if you live in another province, but they're going to find ways around that too. So it's going to, it's, this is why I've always stated that this should be a federal entity. If you give it to the provinces to run, you are opening up all kinds of headaches. And what I'd hate to see is for this thing to crash and burn. And then somebody comes along with another bill and says, we're gonna unlegalize it because it's just too much of a hassle.
Yeah.
And how, again, how are you gonna collect tax money from DraftKings? Do we know that?
We don't.
They're gonna be among the biggest players in terms of advertising in this country to start.
Sure. DraftKings, FanDuel.
Yep. You know,
they all, they've Barstool got all. Will, now that Barstool, because Barstool is owned by Penn National as well, you know, they're part of the remedy for themselves. Kevin, how do you talked about professional teams getting advertising? Is that the only way the sports teams in our country will generate revenue from this?
Well, I think the CFL in particular being, you know, lower run than, you know, the NBA or Major League Baseball. For them, they want to sell the stat packages. Now, the average guy on the street doesn't care about it. But, you know, as you guys and Bob, you would know being in Vegas, those stat packages have a wealth of information in them. You know, back-to-back games, second game on the road, all this stuff, day games, night games. And the league will hopefully, and they haven't done a very good job the first 2 weeks. You know, is Michael Riley starting or is it O'Rourke starting? I mean, they screwed this thing up from day one, the CFL. And they have to do a better job of reporting their player injuries and so on. It's a learning curve. But thank God we didn't have the first 2 weeks because BC was at fault. You know, last week, Riley did start. Nobody thought he was. And that's important, as Bob pointed out. Those are major, major, especially in football. The quarterback is the key position. And when you start monkeying around with a player roster and not telling the media ahead of time, you know, you almost have to take those games off the board. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the CFL in particular, because they have to up their ante. But they think they're going to get advertising on the field, on the sidelines, maybe even on their jerseys. Mm-hmm. And they can sell the stat packages to whoever wants them. And all the, let's face it, FanDuel and DraftKings will all want them because it has a history of what does happen.
One of the great questions, and I know I was asked this when I was presenting to the parliamentary committee, was what should the juice be? What should the commission be?
Yep.
And that is another big factor in terms of competitive balance. You know, in Las Vegas, when I was living there, they basically operated off a 10-cent line. I'm completely certain that Proline is significantly more profitable in terms of the juice that they take or the commission that they take. And I know this is not a federal thing really, but can you guys make any recommendations? Do you trust that the provinces will be smart enough to understand that if they try and take too much commission on each bet, people will simply go elsewhere? Will they be that smart?
Well, we're going to see the market. 500 million was bet on Proline the last year, only 500 million compared to 14 billion that, you know, Canadian Gaming said went outside gray market and the offshore sites. I think the offshore sites are going to provide a lot of competition to Canadians.
100%.
They're going to, you know, they may give you that 8-cent line or 10-cent line or 15-cent line. They may give you a bonus if you exceed this amount of money that you've placed on a wager. So the provincial governments better be aware of this. It was like the cannabis. You know, John, you mentioned cannabis. It's taken a long time. I mean, we got cannabis stores here, and you do too, in Ontario, every block. And I'm not sure they're all making money because there's still, you know, people going behind the stores making deals on the market. So, you know, this is a very interesting proposal, you know, that the provincial governments are going to, and that's why I said they're going to have maybe a sports gambling minister, because this has to be watched so closely. And if it isn't, they're going to lose their shirt on this. You know this, Bob. I mean, there's professionals out there that make a living on this.
Back to Bob's original point about the feds being involved. Is this a frustration for you that you and the House of Commons have and the Senate have passed the bill, and then you basically wash your hands of it?
Yeah, I think that's true, John, because, you know, I had to get that line out of the criminal code. We've done that. And, you know, and I can't undo 1985. I mean, that was the government of day, Mulroney. But where are we going to go with this? So, you know, great. Kevin Waugh's done a PMB and we got single event sports betting, and the provinces are going to rake in millions of dollars. But on the other hand, maybe Kevin Waugh comes back if he gets reelected on the 44th Parliament here to do a private members bill now, talking about some of the stuff we've talked about, and see that we can get it back into the criminal, the Justice Committee, where, you know, the federal government should have some say in this. I totally agree with both of you on this. You know, we've kind of passed the bill and it's out of our hands, and you deal with it now, provinces. But at the same token, there is a responsibility here for the federal government.
100%. They already,
yeah, I know that, and you guys know that. I'm not sure those in the House of Commons know that, right?
Well, they don't, Kevin, because they don't understand it, and the common person has never understood it. You know, you have to understand how this business operates and the nuances of it. And I'm not condemning anybody for not understanding it. I wouldn't expect them to. They're not.
They're just assuming the tax base increases. That's all.
Yeah, that's all they care about.
That's the more revenue coming in for other things to happen.
We have barely touched on a few nuances of sports betting that are going to impact how this thing rolls out. Barely touched on them.
Yeah.
I've spent the last 20, 25 years thinking about this kind of stuff and looking at what actually takes place. And I think it's great that, that your bill was passed. What I don't like is that it's going to the provincial jurisdictions, because that is, I promise you, going to be a colossal mess.
Let me ask you this, Bob. Do you think it's a colossal mess in the United States? Because, I mean, the states have this responsibility, though. I mean, like it's a New Jersey thing, it's a Nevada thing, it's a North Dakota thing. I mean, it's New York and Michigan. How is that different than what would occur here?
Well, the United States has essentially banned offshore sport betting clubs. I mean, that the credit card companies don't allow, for the most part, a lot of those transactions to take place. And remember, when sports betting was initiated, it was legal in one state. It was not legal in the other 49. It was legal only in the state of Nevada. Mm-hmm. And so to have it as a state jurisdiction was obvious. The federal government banned the legalization of sports betting nationally across the board, and no other state approved it. So Nevada started with basically a clean slate and no competition. Things have gotten a lot more complicated.
Oh, sure they
since have. Then. And it's already complicated now. Plus, as big, and I know, Kevin, you said earlier, Ontario is basically the size population-wise of California. Well, it's not quite, but
it's the gambling market that percentage-wise.
Well, in Canada, it's, you know, we're miles ahead of anybody else population.
40% of the country.
That's
40%
right.
of the country.
But what are you going to do with DraftKings? What are you going to do with FanDuel?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with all the other offshore sites? What do you want to do? What are you going to do when Caesars suddenly, and all the individual casino operators in Las Vegas, all of whom have sports books, all of whom are involved in that play, when they recognize now all of a sudden they can advertise on their app? this is, it looks simple, but it really is complicated. And I hope that the provincial jurisdictions, yourself included, Kevin, because you've said that your province is, I guess, in a position where they really don't know what to do. I hope they seek out, you know, tangible advice in this, because this is complicated and you better do it right the first time. Because if you don't, not only might it fail, you will actually lose a crap load of money.
Yeah.
Because the operation of these things is going to cost. And there's going to be infrastructure spending on this, and you better do it right. And I think you recognize
All the more reason to contract it out then. All the more reason. The let's bring in the experts. Let's take a fee, a percentage, and let somebody who does this every day do it for us.
I'll go back to what I said right off the top of the show when I made the presentation. Governments should legislate, but not operate. But you got to legislate first. You got to have the rules and regulations in place. And I mean, you're a federal minister. I think you agree, don't you, that, you know, it should be a federal jurisdiction?
A lot of it. Yes, very much so. I mean, I told you about 1985.
Well, I know. You got to try and undo that.
Yeah. Well, how do you get all the provinces now agreeing to that? Right.
Yeah, well, they're not giving it. Listen, you've seen what it does to cities like Thunder Bay and Kamloops, yeah. All these places where the lottery corporations have really become the number one manufacturing destination. They're not giving that money back now, Kevin.
Well, no, but I don't think it's a matter of that, John and Kevin. I think if you present it properly to the provinces and present the dilemma of what can happen, either in individual provinces or collectively across the country, it's not about, you know, we assume that this is all about sharing the money, that these jurisdictions don't want to give up the revenue. They don't have to. They may share some of it. Just, you got to work together. You got to work under one umbrella in order for this to work. If it's 11 or 12 different umbrellas, somewhere one of those spokes is going to break. And when it does, the whole umbrella is shot. And that's always been the concern that I've had. We're going to let you go, but I personally thank you for presenting the bill and getting it through. Bravo.
Yeah,
thanks. I wasn't sure I'd live to see it happen. But I'm not sure your work is done. And hopefully you get reelected and you can continue the effort and perhaps raise some of the issues that we've talked about today. And for whatever it's worth, probably nothing. Any help I can provide, I'm happy to.
All right, Bob. Thanks. And thanks, John, this was a great discussion. This country is going to change. Sports has changed with this bill in this country. We all know that.
100%. I hope we do it right.
But there's not going to be an epiphany on August 27th.
Not at all. You're right.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Kevin Waugh, Member of Parliament. We thank you very much for joining us. All the best to you and good luck in the election too.
Yeah, thanks guys.
We'll be back after these messages. McCowan and Shannon back with you, and our thanks again to Kevin Waugh, the member for Saskatoon Grasswood.
And it's funny, when I talked to Kevin originally, I said, I know that name. And of course, people in Saskatchewan, Kevin
Waugh was on TV for like 40 years.
Legendary sports announcer, CFQC in Saskatoon for
there you go.
Decades. I actually got a chill down my spine saying, I hope he didn't apply for a job that I didn't hire him for.
Well, he'd be another one. You know, or maybe the gist that you ignored him like you did me all those years.
Yes.
He doesn't even see, folks, he doesn't even apologize for it.
No, not anymore.
He just, yeah, you were crap. I'm not going to hire you. I'm one of those guys who understands 162 games. I understand it's a marathon, not a sprint. But I'll tell you what, with what has happened over the past week, with the Blue Jays collapsing in, I guess Seattle and then Washington, and the Yankees, Seattle, now Oakland.
What's the Yankees? Seven in a row for the Yankees now, I guess.
Well, they've been playing like crazy. The Blue Jays are, I think, going into tonight about 4.5 games out of the wild card spot. They have the Detroit Tigers. Another, forgive me, Detroit Tiger fans, soft touch. A team the Blue Jays not just should beat, must beat. It's a 3-game series, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
When I say 2 out of 3 is the minimum, 2 out of 3 might not be good enough, but you better win 2 out of 3, and you should win all 3. Anything less than that, and I think we're getting perilously close to writing off this season in terms
of. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and this very discussion, and he brought up, well, they've got 10 games against the Orioles. You've got to win all 10 games against the Orioles. And how realistic is to beat, even though the Orioles, I think, have lost 14 in a row, how realistic is it to think you're going to be able to beat a team that many times to get back into the race, Bob? Just to get back into the race.
The other problem is, and here's the other problem. When you get to September and teams are clearly out of the race, all pressure is off. And what got individual players, and baseball is an individual game. It's a collection of individuals that play the game. The conjoining of the team thing is this. It's smaller in baseball than it is in any other sport. There's less reliance on what the other guy does. What happens often in September is those bad teams go on runs because the individual players know they're playing for a contract for next year, whether they're free agents or whether they're on the cusp, or usually bad teams have a bunch of minor league guys that are getting a look. All that kind of stuff. In many ways, I've said before, you're almost better playing a team that you're battling against. And then you don't have to look at the scoreboard too.
Yeah.
Then you're both in the same position in terms of nerves and energy and commitment and, you know, and motivation and goal. I don't want to play some sad sack team in September. And like you said, have to try and win 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 right. in order to gain ground. They don't scare me in July. They scare the hell out of me in September.
They have really backed themselves into a corner. The trip to California, the trip to Seattle, and then to go to DC and do what they did. I think, again, based on that Orioles discussion, is, you know, they probably looked at the schedule and said, oh, we can, if we go 500, if we go, you know, a game over 500 on the road trip, we're in pretty good shape. Well, they didn't.
Well, they would have been in decent shape if they'd done that, but they didn't.
No, they didn't. That's right.
You know, and so, now you're hoping that this, I think, 6 or 7 game homestand produces a whack of victories, and somehow Seattle, Oakland, the Yankees, maybe Boston, whoever else is in it, start stubbing their toe.
Well,
it's go time.
In the thematic of our today's discussion, don't bet on it.
You're here. I'm not. I have no confidence in this bullpen, and I don't know why anybody would. If I'm the manager of this team, well, I would have done this at the beginning of the year, you know. I'd have said, I don't want to see what the pitch count is. Keep throwing until your arm falls off, because I'm not putting anybody from the bullpen in.
Something tells me that I don't think Charlie has all the say by himself anyway. So.
I know he doesn't have all the say, and I'm not saying it to criticize Charlie. It's an organizational decision. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Atkins and Shapiro up top and all the other nerds that they've got sitting in offices in front of their computers tippy typing. You know, screw that.
You got
good starting pitching, you got a crappy bullpen. Guess what? Here's the solution. Punch this into your damn computer. Keep the starters in as long as you can. Thank you. End of speech. John, you have a nice weekend.
You too, Robert. I'm going to Halifax on Sunday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good boy. Going to play some golf?
Yes, sir.
Don't you have a course around the corner? Seems like a long way to go to play golf.
Well, somebody invites you, you go.
Well, nobody invites me anywhere anymore.
Well, we don't know where you live.
And I'm not telling. Y'all have yourselves a good weekend, and we'll catch you Monday if the crick don't rise. For Shannon McCowan, see ya.